Hey, denk dran, dass auch dein Immunsystem Hunger hat. Und probier's mal mit den Gesundheitszielen zur Ernährung in der App Auka Navida. Hol dir Tipps, Rezepte und Challenges für dein gesünderes Ich. Jetzt die App Auka Navida downloaden und loslegen. Auka Plus. Aus Liebe zur Gesundheit.
The Axe of the Blood God.
Welcome to another episode of Axe of the Blood God, US Gamer's official RPG podcast. I'm your host, Kat Bailey, and with me today is our staff writer, Nadia Oxford.
Hello.
And we're going to be talking about an old school RPG, the sequel to Bravely Default, Bravely Second, which I think came out last week. I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah.
It kind of bad timing, to be honest, because it came out right on top of Dark Souls 3. So as a consequence, I feel like it's been a little overlooked by the people who might otherwise want to play it, including this podcast, because we ended up doing our Dark Souls 3 roundtable last week and pushing Bravely Second to this week. But it's definitely an RPG that I think is worth looking into. In the meantime, I don't know, I've just been really busy, but I have managed to get some Bravely Second time in on top of Dark Souls 3 and Star Fox Zero. Nadia, I know that you have been playing Bravely Second. How far are you?
I'm trying to think in terms of hours. Definitely over 20 hours, but I'm not sure exactly how many. I've been at it for a little while now.
Did you play the original Bravely Default?
I did, but I didn't finish it.
Okay. Well, what were your thoughts on the original Bravely Default?
I really liked it. I can't remember why I didn't finish it. I think it was just one of those things where, like, you get distracted, like, hey, look over there, and you say, oh, I'll get back to this, and then you never do.
Oh, but I hate it when that happens. Yeah. I'm afraid of that happening to me in Dark Souls 3, which is why I'm, like, just pressing through it as fast as I can.
Yeah, I'm trying not to look at anything else until, because it's like, oh, Star Fox Zero. Nope, gotta finish this first.
Yeah, that's one of the things about game journalism is that you get into these really long games, and you're not assigned to actually play it, you'll be like, I'm playing this game. Oh, crap, a new game has just come out, and I have to play that now so that I can keep up with everything. And it can result in some games just kind of getting left by the wayside. And unfortunately, RPGs tend to have that happens tends to happen to RPGs a lot.
It really does.
Witcher 3 happened to me with Witcher 3 last year.
I didn't even get a chance to play Witcher 3.
Yeah, I played it for several hours, actually, but at some point I just got distracted by something else that I had to do, and articles and games, and the next thing I knew, it was April 2016.
Yeah. Pretty much.
But you did like Bravely Default.
I did, yes.
I played some Bravely Default when it came out.
You went and to a fan?
I don't know. It didn't grab me. Mm-hmm. So I ended up kind of putting it aside. Maybe it started a little slow. I'm not sure. But
I don't remember, to be honest with you. I know this one kind of starts off pretty quickly because you're basically thrust into the story like nearly as soon as the previous one ended.
Yeah, basically you're waking up and then you're going on some adventures with a couple of your buddies and then you're getting betrayed and your friend's dying. And the next thing you know, you're, like, fighting a doll.
I forgot about that. There's so many wacky encounters that you eventually forget some of them.
So it kind of moves nice and quickly. Of course, Bravely Second is the sequel to Bravely Default. Default was it managed to kind of catch... It grabbed a lot of people because it was kind of a return to that classic 8-bit / 16-bit RPG style. Maybe more 8-bit, to be honest, in its sensibilities, if not its mechanics.
Yeah, and it really came out at a time when people really, really wanted that, because it had been a while since. Which I guess makes kind of Bravely Second kind of interesting in that it's also held people's attention, but it's, you know, it's a little bit more of a JRPG-friendly environment these days, with, like, indies and whatnot. So, yeah.
It was kind of a direct repudiation of like Square Enix going, well, people don't like turn-based games anymore, so we're just going to focus on these action games and kind of moving away from that. And then Bravely Second comes around, and it's this just defiantly old-school game in the Final Fantasy kind of vein. It's like unapologetic in basically being an old-school Final Fantasy game. And people like really dug it.
Yeah.
Because it's like party-based, turn-based game, kind of cutesy and fun, really good take on the job system, lots of grinding, done. And it was on a handheld system, so the kind of people who buy a 3DS seem to be kind of predisposed to that game anyway.
Yeah, pretty much. And the Bravely Second is just basically more of that, which is okay with me. There's more jobs, and of course, one thing that was really compelling about the first Bravely Default is that you could adjust to your encounters and whatnot, so if you weren't really in the mood to get slammed with like random encounters all day, every day, you could just turn them off temporarily or even permanently if you were really brave.
You know what's interesting was that when, I think maybe you were on that episode, I brought up that mechanic, and a lot of people seem to hate that mechanic.
Yeah, I remember that. We were talking about it on that episode, like you and I, and both of us liked it, but some people, I think in the comments, weren't really very impressed with the idea.
Yeah, they were pretty down on it, and I don't remember exactly why, but...
Well, when we talked about the remake of Final Fantasy VII, like, I wrote an article about it, and I said, I can't wait until random encounters are gone, and people really got angry about me suggesting that random encounters shouldn't be a thing anymore.
So, yeah, I don't like random encounters at all, and I've been pretty vocal about that on this podcast. It's an old-school concept. I don't think it really adds a lot. It actually kind of, it tends to detract from the game, because when I am going through a dungeon and I'm, say, trying to solve puzzles, random encounters start to really piss me off because they completely interrupt my train of thought. And people will go, well, that's just the grind and the slog and the monsters jumping out unexpectedly. Well, you can have that with monsters who are visible on the overworld map as well.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just kind of immersion breaking, I guess.
No, there was actually a specific puzzle or something like that in Bravely Second where I was getting irritated that I was getting lost. And I said, you know what? I'm turning off random encounters. And I did. And it was great.
Well, the thing is that so far in the dungeons that I'm playing in Bravely Second, not a lot of puzzles, I would say. It's more of a maze, I suppose.
Yeah, I think that was it. I got like lost navigating around. You do encounter a puzzle here and there, but I've encountered very few.
I like dungeons that have puzzles, or I'm okay with dungeons with puzzles. So I guess I would prefer not to have random encounters. And then it's kind of the worst of all worlds when you have puzzles and random encounters.
Those are the best.
But it's okay that Bravely Default has random encounters because, as I said, it is unapologetically old school. And like I said, I didn't really get into it the first time around, kind of because it was really kind of over the top and being super cutesy, but I didn't necessarily have anything against it.
Yeah.
So I kind of resolved to give Bravely Default a second chance in picking up Bravely Second. But before we get into our thoughts, I was wondering if you could just share your thoughts so far.
It is still cutesy, which makes me surprised that you don't have a problem with that so far. Although I will
so cutesy. Oh my god!
I will say though,
it is so over the top with the cute.
It does balance it out on occasion. There are a couple of story moments where I go, "Oh, that's a little bit sad," but I don't know. It's the thing I like about it is pretty much stuff that I've gone over before, especially in my review. Yes, it is an old school RPG experience, but you can customize it so much that you can make it as old school as you want, or if you're just not in the mood, you can turn all that crap off. Like, even if you do get into random encounters, you can basically fast forward through them, and you can like set up your auto battle system to like work in the way you want. Of course, if you get into a random encounter, you can just make everyone like brave four times in a row and just destroy whatever's in front of you. I don't remember though, did the first game have let you get into several encounters in a chain and kind of double and triple your experience each time?
No, that's a new feature in Bravely Second.
Because I love that feature. I am hooked on that feature. Basically, you kind of, it's not even gambling, because if you screw up, well, you're dead anyway, but basically, as long as the enemy doesn't hit you, you can opt to fight as many battles as you want until, like, you stack your experience and your job points. So, like, if you're, gosh, even, like, a regular encounter, if you're, if you get, like, say, usually 19 job points for doing this particular battle, you can get, like, 100 if and without breaking much of a sweat. So it really takes the edge off grinding for job points and experience, especially since there are so many jobs in this game. And so many of them you're going to want to experiment with, like Catmancer.
What is the Catmancer?
Catmancer is actually kind
of... Do you summon cats?
You summon cats.
Yes.
It's basically kind of like the Blue Mage of the game. You learn enemy skills and your cats perform them. Which sounds weird, I know, but you also have to get your cats to kind of dig for items that you use to kind of execute those commands. So it's a bit of an involved class, but I can't really bear to change so far.
New favorite class.
Yep. And as usual, the characters all have like individual costumes for each class, and it's really stupidly cute. I can't stand it.
Yeah, not only do they have classes for each individual class, they show up when you're on the overworld map. So
yes.
There's some nice visual continuity going on there.
Yeah.
That you don't necessarily see elsewhere.
Yeah. And it's like the merchant class, for example, like the females have like these little bonnets, and it's like, oh God, I love it so much. I can't stand it.
Getting back to the chain thing, I'm glad that they introduced it, because I remember that one of the big criticisms of Bravely Default was that it was pretty grindy.
Yes.
Especially around the midpoint in the game. So it's, and it sounds like this chain system really takes the edge off that.
It really does. There's still a lot of grinding, but there's it's kind of a gambling element to it now that I really like, and that's... it's addictive.
Yeah. Could you explain the gambling element?
Well, I guess again, gambling isn't the right word, but just
more of a risk reward kind of thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because you, what was it? You can't recuperate brave points or something.
Yes, that's right. You can't recuperate brave points, so you kind of have to organize your attacks in a way that you're kind of parsing them out so that you don't run out of brave points. Because once the enemy attacks you, it's over. Well, the chain is over anyway.
Hmm. Yeah, one of the kind of things that Bravely Default does, if you're not like so familiar with the series, is that you have a brave command and then you have a default command. And what it means essentially is that you can store up actions by defending.
Yes.
And it can often be, so it's really beneficial to default your turn and defend in exchange for storing up a whole bunch of actions and then just unleashing them all at once. And it's especially important in boss battles, because often they'll come at you with like a really powerful attack. Well, this is a good time to default.
Yeah, exactly. But the nice thing about chaining is that even if you only get like a couple of battles in a row or three, you can still rack up some pretty big bonuses.
One thing I don't understand about defaulting, using actions,
mm-hmm.
What does it mean when you go into kind of like debt, when you like go into like minus one?
Let's say, for example, I think you can spend 4 points at a time. So if you were to go into like, you know, attack 4 times or do 4 actions and you're into minus four, then your enemy basically gets 4 turns on you.
Oh, so you don't have to save up your turns.
Oh, no, absolutely not. Like I said, with a lot of random encounters, what I do is I just kind of make everyone attack 4 times, and that usually takes care of the problem really quickly.
I put it on auto battle.
Yeah. Yeah, I should do that too. I don't know why I don't, but I guess sometimes... sometimes like it depends on the job you're doing. Sometimes there's other actions you can take, but yeah, you can auto battle, but also if you try to do that against a boss, you're probably going to get killed, because if you're standing there for 4 turns and they're just kicking you... you're in trouble.
Just wailing on you.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm still in the early part of the game, so I suppose the depth hasn't quite revealed itself to me, but I can definitely see it because, I mean, I have a wizard character now.
The wizard, Yeah.
I turned you into a wizard.
So did I. He's still going around with that cute little black robe.
I mean, it's like, because when you're using it, like, first of all, you can have you can buy spells.
Yes.
Right? So they have spells, but then you have something called, like, spell crafting.
Yes.
And you can turn, like, say, heat into, like, a needle attack. So instead of hitting, like, multiple characters at once, you do, like, one big focused attack.
Yes.
There's, like, needle, and I forgot what the other one is.
Oh, I've unlocked a bunch, sure, because you learn more as you gain job levels. But there's needle, there's mist, which is really interesting, which is, like, it has, like, an effect over a certain amount of turns. Like, it's kind of like poison, but with that elemental.
Damage over time. More dots.
I'll be honest with you, the wizard is one of the best classes in the game. I haven't changed you at all yet. I haven't quite maxed out the wizard job, but I'm getting there.
I am shocked that a magic class is the best class in the game.
I'm sure you are. There's one thing I should probably mention, though, that I like and don't like about the game, is that there's a lot of side quests for some of the asterisks, which are basically what you acquire to get jobs. And that's fine. I have no problem with the side quests, because there's a lot of jobs to cover, but you're forced to make choices. And they're story-related at times. Well, so far they've all been story-related, now they think about it. But what makes it kind of interesting is it's not a black or white choice. This is where you come into contact with characters you've met in the previous game, and they explain who they are, so you're not left like, hey, who is that? But, for example, there was like a choice between getting the merchant asterisk and the white mage asterisk. And it all centered around this story involving a little girl and her grandfather. And the white mage, I can't remember who the character was, but she wanted to let those two stay where they were, whereas the merchant wanted to kick them out and develop the land. He wanted to pay them fairly, to be honest with you. Like, it's not anyone's, no one's really evil here, but it kind of comes into focus that, okay, well, if you kick these people out, it's going to traumatize the little girl, but if you let them stay where they are, then they can't develop that area, which is an area that desperately needs to be developed because the economy is in the trash can. So you have to decide, am I going to beat up the merchant and get his asterisk, or am I going to beat up the white mage and get her asterisk?
So you're making a tough decision in that moment.
Yes, and it's also a matter of, okay, what if I agree with this person, but I don't want their asterisk, what if I agree with this person and I want their asterisk? You know what I mean? Like, you kind of have to fight them because you want their job, but you agree with their ideal. It's very strange.
And this is a new feature in Bravely Second.
As far as I know, yeah.
So if you get one job, you just can't get the other.
Yeah, it seems to be that case. I guess that's good for replays.
Yeah, if you want to replay like a 100-hour RPG.
Who doesn't?
I mean, there are some people who are just going to pick up this game and they're just going to play the hell out of it and just keep on playing and then restart and like go out and go get different classes. I wish I had that much spare time.
Yeah, but I don't. I mean, there is replayability to the game, not just because of that, but also because you can... God, there's so many things you can do with the job combination, just like Final Fantasy V in that regard.
Yeah, I love that.
And there's also the... have you unlocked the ball battles yet?
The what battles?
B-A-apostrophe-A-L. There's a lot of ball jokes involved.
No, I haven't unlocked those yet.
Okay, they're kind of like, those are like the really tough fights, like you kind of get the monster data from your friends. It was the same idea in the original Bravely Default, as I recall, but I can't remember what the monsters were in that particular case. But they are tough, tough monsters. But I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who just get a thrill out of hunting them down.
Well, I'm in the process of getting more jobs at the moment.
Yeah.
So, like I said, relatively early part of the game, but... I am kind of like, I think it got its hooks into me the second that I got my first job.
Mm-hmm.
Because, well, like initially I'm like going, okay, I'm playing this. Okay. Yep. It's pretty cutesy again. everybody, like the dialogue is really over the top and hey, that villain looks like Tuxedo Mask. Okay. and so on. And he has a little fairy with him and so on and so forth.
Oh yeah.
But I'm like going, wow, this game's a lot better looking than I remember, like, graphically. And
it is a very pretty game.
I was wondering if, like, Bravely Default was actually that pretty, and I just didn't notice it. I didn't remember the graphics jumping out at me that much. But the art style, immediately jumped out at me. I was like, oh, I like the main city. I recognize that main city.
Uh-huh.
I like the Cupid doll looking characters. I like the way that the dialogue is presented as almost kind of a, they do a good job of mixing the text boxes with like little animations.
Yeah.
This kind of stuff jumps out at me immediately.
Yeah.
I liked going into like the forest village, or sorry, the snow village. I was like, ooh, snow, this is very pretty. I liked that moment where you're in the forest and then the witch with all the dolls shows up.
Yeah.
The doll shows up and you're like surrounded by will-o-wisps. And I was like, oh, that was kind of a cool little moment, I suppose. And then it has weird stuff like a spaceship crashing.
Yeah. That was a little bit of, that was a bit jarring, but yeah.
But I mean, it's very Final Fantasy, right?
It is, exactly.
I mean, it's like, oh, and there's a girl from the moon and there's like a moon base.
And she speaks French.
She has a French accent for some reason. She must be from Montreal. Okay.
I am actually.
Canadian joke there for you.
I actually don't know if that's like French dialect she uses, like French, Parisian French or Quebec French, because they're two very different things, believe it or not.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Québécois.
Québécois. But
yeah, I'm going to go on a limb and say that's probably French French.
Yeah, real French, quote unquote.
Yes.
One thing I will say about the graphics, and I know a lot of people are going to overlook this, turn on the 3D because it is absolutely amazing in 3D. This is one of the few games I can think of where the 3D really, really enhances the visuals, especially the towns.
I totally agree, actually.
Yep.
My problem is that I play on a 3DS extra large.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a new 3DS, so the screen's better than the classic 3DS XL. But I sort of feel like with the visuals blown up that much, the 3D, it doesn't help the 3D so much.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right, because I find that like it's I don't know if my 3D slider is screwed up or what, but the 3D doesn't work quite well. But I will say like. That's not the game's fault. The technique they use is really nice.
No, it's not the game's fault at all. It just makes my eyes a little tired to do that. And
yeah.
When I'm playing an RPG, that's definitely not something that I really want.
No, you don't need that.
Yeah. But if you have are the new 3DS like smaller size out now?
That's a good question.
I know that they were confirmed for the US.
They were confirmed, but Nintendo's been so low-key about it that I have no idea.
If you happen to have one, then if you happen to have one of those, then I would definitely recommend turning on the 3D.
Yeah.
But in general, I just really appreciate games with good art, and actually has a good soundtrack too. It has had really good boss battles, so like that kind of immediately endeared it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you're thinking, Kat, that's like really shallow of you to say about an RPG. Well, if I'm going to spend like 100 hours with this game, like I think it's nice to have good visuals and a good like kind of artistic flair. I mean,
yes.
It's not required, but it sure helps, right? So
it does.
And I kind of mentioned that I had gotten back into Persona Q in the last episode, and I think the flair of Bravely Second kind of reminds me of that game, especially in the like the little Cupid doll people.
Yeah, I haven't played Persona Q, so I can't confirm.
You should play Persona Q.
I should play any Persona game.
You should play Persona 3 and 4.
Yeah, I've been meaning to start with 3 or 4 or one of those.
Do you have a Vita?
No.
Come on,
I have a
Nadia.
PSP.
Well, I am going to find a way to make you play Persona 4, and it will be good.
Good.
But in any case, you should be playing Persona Q. So I suppose one of the questions that I kind of had about Bravely Second was, so it's this old school Final Fantasy turn-based JRPG.
Mm-hmm.
And outside of just pure nostalgia, I'm wondering, what is it about this particular style that just seems to speak so deeply to people?
Do you mean the visuals or the battle system or all of it?
I mean,
together?
Like, when I say style, I mean gameplay.
Like, what, basically, like, the nostalgic, the element of it all? Like, just...
I mean, like, when I say, like, clearly this turn-based, party-based, JRPG style of RPG like seems to resonate with people.
Mm-hmm.
And the job system maybe even more so. And I think that there's certainly an element of nostalgia for the old school feel of it all.
There really
is. I'm wondering, like, what does it go deeper than that, or is it just nostalgia?
No, I think it definitely goes deeper, especially in a game like Bravely Second, which really kind of takes that nostalgic stuff but kind of adds a modern shine to it. I can't exactly explain why or how, but I have never been a huge fan of job systems outside of, like, Dragon Quest. But something about Bravely Default and Bravely Second, like, I just really, really enjoy tinkering with the jobs. I guess because they're so effective in a way. And there's just so much mixing and matching to do in Bravely Second. But I think there's also definitely a nostalgic sort of element to it. Like, I would never recommend the game to someone who absolutely hates random encounters, for example.
The random encounter, like, random encounters aren't that numerous. I mean,
no, they're not.
You can get them. I think the important thing with random encounters is that as long as they're fast, it's not a big deal.
Yeah, and of course they're very fast in Bravely Second. But then I have people who like just they despise Undertale because they despise random encounters. Like they hate it so much that they will not look past it, no matter what you do to make them go down easier.
That's weird.
It is.
But weird. I guess I can respect their opinion, but that's weird.
Yeah, exactly. it's very weird to me because I still love Dragon Quest and stuff like that, so.
I guess when it comes to a game like Bravely Second, it's kind of like this RPG comfort food on the one hand.
Mm-hmm.
But there is definitely something to the mechanics, for sure, in terms of the job system.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a job system proponent because I think that just that mixing and matching and deciding how to compose your party is like really, I suppose, compelling.
Yeah. I was just going to say with Bravely Second, I think one of the things that I like about it is it's so easy to make a magic user who's not a wimp, because I've always hated making that choice in RPGs. Like you can use magic or... You know, you can get kicked around. It's
kind of the, well, I mean, it's like the default choice. I mean, you need a meat shield. Mm-hmm. You need somebody who's going to put out that DPS, and then you need a healer, and then you need the black mage, right? The
exactly.
Who's going to be like also doing a lot of damage, and that's kind of your golden party.
Yeah, exactly.
And I suppose like Bravely Default does kind of hew to those archetypes, but also seems to play around with them a little bit. Have you found any particularly great jobs that you really like?
I love the wizard, as I said. I also love the fencer. You probably haven't unlocked that one yet.
Nope. I just got the centaur warrior.
Oh, God, that guy. Yeah. Cahulain, or whatever his name was, the Irish dude. Screamy Irish dude. Yeah.
I put it on the Japanese language track, actually, so...
Probably
which,
wasn't the worst idea.
By the way, another thing that endears this game to me is when I can select the Japanese language track. No offense to the English voice actors, but I think that I would rather just listen to Japanese people screaming at one another in this game. So.
Not the worst choice. The voice acting is really good, actually. His voice actor, I was surprised to learn this, it was he did Leonardo in the 2003 Ninja Turtles cartoon.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. So I can hear it now.
I actually have been playing, like, with the volume turned off for a while, like, listening to other music or whatever,
mm-hmm.
or, like, while watching Star Trek or something, so I haven't always, like, heard the people talking or the music, but when I was fighting the most recent boss, I put in my headphones just to listen to it, and I was like, hey, this music's really good. Okay. And that's when I was catching the Japanese voices and remembering that I had turned on the Japanese voice track. But I digress.
Yeah, I like the... definitely like Fencer. Magnolia and Adia, I've been kind of experimenting back and forth with them. Let's see, Adia for a while was the Red Mage. I've actually just recently made her the Hawkeye, which is the class that was replaced, the Tomahawk class, if you remember that controversy.
And oh, yes, I remember that controversy. Yeah. I remember that you addressed it rather nicely.
I did, but I still have people who won't talk to me about it, over it.
Really?
Yeah, I have one person who just does not speak to me anymore.
Well, that's sad.
What can you do? It's their loss. But, yeah.
Hey, person, discourse is okay.
Discourse really is okay.
It's okay to have different opinions. Jeez.
But it's a great class, notwithstanding. So I'm really enjoying that one.
The cowboy class.
The cowboy class with the crossbow, don't ask me.
Yeehaw. Well, didn't you know that they all had crossbows in the Magnificent Seven? You maybe just didn't notice.
No, I didn't.
No, you didn't. All right. So I'm kind of curious. You said that you don't like the job systems in general. What is it about job systems that you generally don't really like?
They kind of intimidate me. Don't know what it is. Like, I guess it's because I choose a class and I think, oh my God, what if this is the wrong class? What if I screw it up? Whereas I guess because Bravely Default lets you adjust the difficulty as you need it to, it's kind of hard to feel like you're screwing up.
I suppose so. I think I can see like how you would feel that way, especially when you're playing a game like, say, Final Fantasy Tactics, where like you spend a lot of time building up that class only to discover that there's not actually a lot that's great about that class.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you look it up and you go, well, what you should actually be aiming for is this, this, and this.
Yeah.
And you weren't putting together the right class combos.
Yeah.
So start over, peasant.
Yeah, Bravely Second really doesn't do that to you. If you experiment with something you don't like it, no big deal. There's a million other choices, and it's really hard to play the game in a wrong way.
You said that you liked the job systems in Dragon Quest, though. Like, what about Dragon Quest stands out to you?
I can't even say for sure. I mean, number one, I guess it's not nearly as prominent as it is in the Final Fantasy games. I guess since I grew up with it, with Dragon Quest III, I found it a lot less intimidating. And of course, in Dragon Quest III, there's a lot fewer choices. God, now that I think about it, I think all I ever did was change my pilgrim to a sage. That's some old NES terminology there, because I can't remember what they used in the retranslations.
Well, there was a job system in Dragon Quest VI.
Yeah, there was, but I don't think... VI has never been one of my favorites, so it doesn't really stick out to me.
Yeah, VI wasn't really one of my favorites either. I played the remake.
Yeah, even that, I was just kind of like, especially since 5 was so had such a great story in addition to the great gameplay. VI was just kind of like, it was all right.
There was something about Dragon Quest VI's job system that I didn't particularly like, but when I think back to it, I can't remember it all that well.
Exactly. 9 had one too, and that I did okay with that.
I did like Dragon Quest IX's job system, to be honest. Mostly because, like, I know that there are a lot of people who disagreed with me, but I instantly took to the ability to be able to customize everything in that game. Like, I really liked being able to customize my own party, like, build them up from scratch, choose, like, what class they were going to be and everything, choose, like, what I was going to be. And then I just liked how much personality it lent to all of the different characters. My favorite thing was to gather up people, or was just to show up in my tavern and see, like, who was in my tavern that day.
Oh, the tavern was great.
Especially when I was in Japan and, like, everybody was still... It was at the tail end of it, but everybody was still playing Dragon Quest IX. And they had, like, meetup zones.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Where you could just street pass to your heart's content. This was pre-3DS, maybe?
Yeah, it was.
I think it was.
Nintendo
DS.
This
is, like, 2010.
Yeah.
Weird. Yeah, this was pre-3DS, but... So this was our first real taste of street passing culture.
Yeah.
But it was so fun to go into the tavern and see, like, what everybody was wearing and what they looked like and, like, what they had. And,
yeah, I actually brought my DS to Otakon that year, and it was just crazy.
Oh, I bet it was. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. In fact, I made a friend who I still talk to on Twitter through through the nice. Inn, so that's neat.
No, that's fun. See, you. Speaking of Otakon, I'm wondering. So you're like an anime fan. What anime does like Bravely Second's like writing kind of remind you of?
Oh gosh. It's funny because actually I don't watch a whole lot of anime.
What?
I used to read a lot of manga because I was a reviewer for Mania.com way back in the day. But I don't know. Does it remind you of any in particular?
I want to say like maybe an anime for like younger audiences. Like I brought up Sailor Moon.
I don't know,
but,
because
you know, like the villain is very definitely a black hat, and the heroes are very definitely heroes.
Yes,
and they all talk like heroes,
barring, like I said, those kind of shades of gray that you encounter when you get new asterisks. Very odd, but I don't know. It's I don't want to say it's like kiddie because it's not either. Like it's you have some jokes in there that are kind of like strangely raunchy, but like not even so much in a juvenile way, although there's plenty of that too.
I don't want to like harp on the writing too much. I found the fact that they took that style kind of interesting, and I was wondering like who they were kind of intending to appeal to. And so my first thought was, well, they're appealing to, I mean, a Japanese audience, but they're also appealing to, I suppose, anime fans. And then I thought to myself, okay, well, what anime fans are they appealing to? Because I like anime, I like mecha anime, but they don't really talk like that in mecha anime. They're much more
dramatic.
Dramatic, yes, kind of over the top, like dramatic, like everything is like the end of the world kind of like discussions. But this like struck me as like a comedy, like what was it? Azumanga Diaries.
Yes. Okay. If it's going to remind me of any anime, it was probably closest to that. Azumanga Daio.
So Azumanga Daio, that's where it is. And so like, I suppose like there are people who are going to be like, I really love that just crazy over the top, goofy sense of humor.
Yeah.
And I suppose it's kind of a good match for like an old school RPG like this.
Yeah. However, like even if you don't like the tone, the writing is good. You have a lot of cheesy moments. Don't get me wrong, but I don't know. It's kind of like it's one of those all in good fun sort of games. Like it kind of reminds me a bit of what was it I just reviewed? Project Cross Zone 2. Not nearly as like over the top as that, but it's pretty much in the same neighborhood.
Everybody's just in it to have fun.
Yeah. Of course, it depends on the character. Like, Yu is kind of, as I called him in my review, I called him, like, the RPG hero dork, because you kind of know the type, like, Shulk from Xenoblade.
I suppose that there are also, like, some of these games, like, say, maybe Hyperdimension Neptunia, which just doesn't... It also has a pretty humorous bent to it in a, like, over-the-top way. Everybody has a joke, so...
Yeah.
It's not surprising to me that Bravely Second would take that approach. But anyway, I put it to Twitter. I was like, okay, first part of the question is, what are your thoughts on Bravely Second so far? And the second part of the question was, what's your favorite job system outside of Final Fantasy V? And so here are a few of the responses. At @mouse_in-house says, I'm avoiding Bravely Second partly because I'm broke and partly because I'm burnt on Bravely Default's terrible pacing issues. And he loves Dragon Quest IX's job system, which we were kind of talking about. At Ghost of Sullivan, Dragon Quest IX is my favorite after Final Fantasy V, no question. Well, okay, Dragon Quest IX is getting a lot of love in this one.
I'm glad.
At Jay Lindstrone, BS is like a second helping of your favorite meal, and Catmancer is too cool. Overall, best Final Fantasy in years. I'm not going to disagree with that.
No, that's pretty...
A lot of people would say Final Fantasy XIV is the best Final Fantasy in years.
Yeah, but I haven't played that, but that's kind of a different Final Fantasy to me, even though the number's on there.
If you're into MMORPGs anyway.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm not.
Are you ever going to play it? You should.
I definitely want to give it a try, but it's one of those, I have so much to do as it is that I don't know if I have the time to invest in an RPG, an MMORPG.
Yeah, but it's really grindy. I know Bob likes it, though.
Yeah, I do have a lot of respect for it, just for its existence and the fact that they fixed it from the disaster area that it was.
one of the greatest turnarounds I've ever seen in a video game.
Yeah, so
Bar none.
Yeah.
Just the fact that they took it from flaming tire fire to, like, great success story.
Yeah.
I bow to them. That's amazing.
Absolutely.
Required a total reboot.
Yeah, just a bit. Like, literal on fire reboot. But
I give them credit for, like, throwing everything into it and,
yep.
like, caring enough about Final Fantasy to be like, no, we're not going to let this stand. We have to save this game.
Yes. So I'm glad they did that.
All right. So, at Darukaru, no cash for Bravely Second yet. I'm starting to see a theme.
Yes.
Best job system in the Final Fantasy series, Final Fantasy Tactics.
Nope.
This is actually a pretty common one.
Yeah, it would be.
At Killington 00, Final Fantasy Tactics did it better than Final Fantasy V. Yes, I agree. Final Fantasy Tactics did have a really great exploitable job system. Oh my god, you could exploit the hell out of Final Fantasy Tactics job system. But in a fun way.
In a productive way.
Did you ever finish Final Fantasy Tactics?
I did not.
I finished it for the first time a couple years ago because we did a U.S. Gamer Club about it.
Oh, yes. I was just thinking of those. Those were fun.
Yeah. Like, I hope that we do it again this summer because I, like, enjoy them. But
yeah.
Good game. If you get a chance to just, like, download it on your, like, PS3 or whatever, you should give it a shot.
Yeah, I definitely want to.
Best version, though, is the PSP version.
Mm-hmm.
But I was playing that on my Vita, mostly because of the better translation.
Yeah. The original translation is kind of classic, though.
It kind of was. Did you play the original version?
A long time ago, yes.
Okay. This person, at GCN940, they say that Bravely Default is actually their favorite example of a job system.
Oh, really?
They say, I like Second so far, but I'm only in the prologue. Just got the chariot job. But the prologue goes for, like, 10 hours, doesn't it?
It goes on for a while. I don't think it's quite 10 hours, but it is quite substantial.
It's a pretty long prologue.
It is.
It really kind of gets you into the meat of the game in the prologue. At Roto13, the class system and Fire Emblem combined with selective breeding in the last two games makes that system pretty neat.
That's true.
As someone who really likes just Fire Emblem in general, I think the job system is kind of a highlight of that series regardless.
Yeah.
Just because it's fun to find the right job for each character and really watch them grow.
Yeah.
On the other hand, you have to kind of understand the stat growth on that character, and that's not always immediately obvious when you're just playing through the game.
Mm-hmm.
So you end up wanting to, like, go, say, online and use online resources to see, like, how a character develops so that you can properly take advantage of their stat growth. Like,
yeah.
There's this one character who's basically just a dodge tank. And she is amazing as a samurai. But her buddy, like, who shows up around the same time, I think. I'm playing through the Hoshido campaign, Awakening, Birthright right now. He's much more of a typical tank, so I ended up turning him into a blacksmith.
Yeah.
I think that's what they're called. Blacksmith? Yeah, in any case. It's interesting trying to find the right jobs combinations. Are you still playing Fire Emblem? I'm not sure.
I haven't even gotten a chance to start. I'm so mad at myself.
Nadia, it's so good.
I know. It seems so good. Like, I really, really want to try it. But my husband's like, no, we got to buy the hard copy. And I'm like, I just want to download it so I have it. He's like, no, we got to get the hard copy.
Why? Why get the hard copy?
I don't know. I don't know these things.
You should. Well, when you do, I would recommend playing Birthright first.
Not Conquest?
Easier.
I heard that Conquest.
Conquest is better, but Birthright is maybe, unless you feel really confident in yourself,
yeah.
I recommend Conquest. On the other hand, I feel like they developed Conquest with finishing Birthright in mind first in some ways, because when you get to Conquest, there's kind of, the reward of being like, oh, I remember those guys that I killed, but now they're on my party.
Yay!
And then at the same time, like, you recognize people from the other side. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, and now you're an enemy, and now I'm killing you.
Kind of sad.
So it kind of goes either way, but I feel like there's a more natural progression from Birthright to Conquest, I suppose.
Yeah, either way, I want to get it done.
Hmm. But, oh, yeah. Birthright, like, I think Conquest is also a bit more shades of gray.
Yeah.
And Birthright is much more just, like, straight up. Mustache twirling like villainy,
yeah.
White hats and black hats. I mean, yeah, there's still black hats in Conquest, but because you're on Team Black Hat, it's more at pains to, I suppose, lend texture to the villains.
Yeah, that would make sense.
In any case, at the Click 86, it's crazy simple, but I really like the job upgrading in Vandal Hearts. Felt awesome when you hit level 10. Never played Vandal Hearts.
Never played it myself. It was that was on PlayStation, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I remember that a remake maybe came out on PS3 at some point. Or 360.
Yeah, either way, I never got a chance to play it.
It was several years ago.
Yeah.
At this point. At Ted, not Tedward, I usually don't like job systems. Character abilities should reflect who they are, not what menu option I pick. The fun of an RPG is having a blank slate that you can customize to your will.
At the same time, I understand the sentiment.
I do. I suppose it's kind of like how you think of an RPG.
Yeah.
I think one of the core like elements that I really like in an RPG is like having that blank slate of a character that I can pour myself into. Like the second that you have a character who's already really well defined in terms of their abilities and their personality and everything, mm-hmm. It creates a remove between me and the character.
That makes sense. But then, like, I kind of like this. I'm more about the story and the journey and...
Sure. I mean, like, the foundation, the very roots of RPGs is, like, Dungeons & Dragons, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
And D&D is rolling up your own character.
Yeah. That's what it's all about.
Yes, exactly. So, but of course, you have that split between, say, JRPGs and WRPGs, which has mm-hmm. been pretty well covered at this point. But Bravely Default kind of toes that line by having defined characters that you can kind of customize to your will. So, I like the way that it splits the difference. At Sporky Reeve, Steve Watts, actually, I think he works over at Shack News still.
Yes, he does.
Used to work with me at 1UP on news back in the day.
I was going to say he used to be the owner of the Mega Man Network back. Now my husband owns it. So, well, was he the owner, or he was definitely largely hugely involved in the Mega Man community, and that's how we met. So,
he feels that Bravely Second is the best example of a job system.
It's definitely one of the better ones.
And he says that probably informs the first answer too. And at Harry Hole, Second is great, but it's almost like DLC. Gameplay is identical to Bravely Default, which, I mean, I suppose there's a chain system. Mm-hmm. Like, one of the things about Bravely Default, if I recall correctly, is that Americans got the For the Sequel version.
Yes.
Which included a lot of gameplay updates that eventually made their way into Bravely Second. So the difference maybe isn't as stark for people here in the U.S.
Yeah, apparently Bravely Default for the sequel was very much an upgrade, so I understand why it kind of feels the same to us, but Japan at the same time is it's not quite the case.
So, final thoughts on Bravely Second?
I'm really enjoying it. If you want, like, a fun RPG that doesn't take itself seriously, if you don't mind a few, like, you know, tropes in terms of story, go for it.
Yeah, I would also definitely recommend it just based on what I've played so far. I would say have a little bit of patience with it in terms of like just building up, recruiting characters and building up your class. But luckily, it doesn't take that long to get going, unlike some other RPGs.
No, I definitely didn't feel like it was a slow slog at first. It does definitely pick up once you get your first jobs. But even the intro, it kind of really keeps you invested. And if you never played the first one, because a lot of people have asked me this, like, do you need to play the first one? I really don't think so. Even though it's so closely tied to the first game, you have, like, an intro and a prologue that fills you in. Plus, there's always the demo, apparently, which also fills you in.
Yeah.
So there's your answer. If you like the demo, the game is definitely worth it. If you're not big into the demo, eh.
I think that if you really like that kind of classic JRPG style and you just want turn-based combat and kind of that 8-bit/16-bit kind of approach to RPG design, which, contrary to what some people seem to think, I think has held up extremely well into the present day, then I think Bravely Second is a pretty good example of that, at least from what I've been able to play of Bravely Default, Bravely Second. Like I said, enjoying it quite a bit.
Yeah, me too.
In any case, Nadia, we can find you on Twitter at Nadia Oxford.
Yes, I'm very easy to find.
Well, that's not so hard, is it?
Yeah.
Nope. What are you working on these days?
Let's see. I've been doing a lot of mobile news lately. I guess it just keeps on coming in. So you can find me on US Gamer, usually covering the mobile beat, but I do cover other things as well. Whatever's cool, I'm there.
The mobile beat, the mobile drum beat never stops.
Yeah.
Are you playing Clash Royale?
No, I'm not. I'm really terrible at any of the Clash-style games. Like, real-time strategy of any kind is not my gig.
If you want to see a game that highlights just the disconnect between the traditional games press and mobile, that's it right there.
Which, Clash Royale?
Yeah, it's the most profitable mobile game of all time.
Yes, it makes millions a day, and I don't know if you read my news story about how much Miitomo makes per day. It makes about 40K per day, and that's really not bad, because Nintendo, if you play Miitomo, they do not push in-app purchases, or very, very little, and there are no ads. Whereas, of course, if you play Clash Royale, Clash of Clans, you're going to get a lot of ads. You're going to get, like, if you want to get anywhere in the game in terms of the leaderboards, you have to spend money.
I don't know. My partner's been playing Clash Royale pretty heavily, and she hasn't spent a dime, and she's managed to get fairly far.
Oh, good for her. That's really cool, actually, because I sure as heck can't do that.
All right. So you can find Acts of the Blood God on iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever else podcasts are sold. Please do me a favor and leave us a review. The more ratings we get, the more visibility we become. Go ahead and just quickly rate us. I would really appreciate it.
Please.
What else? What were you going to say, Nadia?
I said please.
Please? Please. Yes, absolutely. And continuing onward, you can find us over on US Gamer, of course. I just reviewed Star Fox Zero.
Yes.
Which is not an RPG. Has been kind of proving divisive already, but I'm just glad to have Star Fox back.
Yay.
I really missed it. It's a wonderful game, or it's a wonderful series, and it's legitimately heartbreaking to me to hear people going, like some of the reviews that I've seen where people are like, oh, I've outgrown rail shooting, or rail shooting, that was so 2002, or rail shooting, it just doesn't fit with modern gaming. I'm like, oh, come on, that's BS.
Totally.
I'm sorry. I mean, have you looked at what we're playing on indie games these days? I mean, retro is in.
Yeah, totally.
And rail shooting is eternal. It's great. And a really well-done rail shooter can be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It's not our fault we haven't had a good rail shooter in ages.
Yeah, that's kind of the problem.
I'm not saying that Star Fox Zero is the answer to that, but stop acting like the genre itself is completely outdated. That's completely not true.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm glad I got that off my chest. It's nice to have a soapbox that people will actually listen to. And okay, in any case, the next episode of Acts of the Blood God, I'm not entirely sure what we're going to be talking about. I do know that I'll be checking out Witcher 3 Blood and Wine soon. So I potentially have an interview for that as well. I may also have Steve back on the show to do our RPG Boss Fights podcast. So,
oh, that'd be fun.
We can hit up a lot of different angles, but in any case, you can definitely expect us to be back next week. In any case, thanks for listening to the show. As always, go and review us and rate us. Go play some Bravely Second. And for Nadia Oxford, thanks for coming on the show.
No
and
problem.
Myself, thanks for listening and happy adventuring.
Persil sorgt schon seit 1907 für tiefenreine Wäsche, auch bei den Johnsons, oder Anna?
Das stimmt. Sogar meine Oma hat schon mit Persil gewaschen.
Und als Dankeschön für über 100 Jahre Vertrauen gibt's jetzt bis zu 15 Euro Rabatt auf unser Bestes.
Das mit der roten Schleife.
Genau, made in Germany. Mehr Infos auf unserbestes.persil.de.
Wenn es tiefenrein ist, ist es Persil. Unser Bestes.